Hey, Dog Walk listeners, you can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
This episode is brought to you by Body Armor Zero Sugar. The brand new Zero Sugar sports drink from our friends at Body Armor provides real hydration with no artificial sweeteners, flavors, or dyes. And whether you're looking to stay hydrated or recovering from a long weekend, Body Armor Zero Sugar has got you covered with great tasting flavors like Fruit Punch and Lemon Lime. Available in stores nationwide, head on over to Body Armor Store on Amazon and get yours today. This episode is brought to you by Body Armor Zero Sugar. The brand new Zero Sugar sports drink from our friends at Body Armor provides real hydration with no artificial sweeteners, flavors, or dyes. And whether you're looking to stay hydrated or recovering from a long weekend, Body Armor Zero Sugar has got you covered with great tasting flavors like Fruit Punch and Lemon Lime. Available in stores nationwide, head on over to Body Armor Store on Amazon and get yours today.
All right, Ben Mank, today is Friday. It is January 27th. Welcome to the Dog Walk presented by Barstool Sports. Continuing on with these Chicago Fridays, we have our first mayoral candidate on here. He's an Illinois State rep. I'm joined by Cam Buckner. Cam, welcome to the show. Thanks for doing this.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Yeah, this is great, man. I'm happy to have you. Just been kind of doing this, kind of getting everyone, getting people's perspective here. So you're the first one we're having on so far. Fantastic. That's actually in the race.
That's right. Good deal. So
let's get into it. First of all, you complimented the Turbo Man. You're a fan of Jingle All the Way. I like that.
I did. I mean, Jingle All the Way to me is a quintessential classic Christmas movie. As we were saying before we went live, it doesn't get the respect it deserves. But when you think about like Sinbad, Schwarzenegger, and the late gosh, what's Phil's last name? The gentleman.
Oh, Phil Hartman.
The late great Phil Hartman, right? We got some talent there. Oh, yeah. It was a great storyline too. So,
oh yeah,
one of my favorites.
It's a good movie. It's a good movie.
Yeah.
So what's up, man? How's it going?
It's going well, man. We are 40 days away from the mayoral election. We have been in this race since May, so almost 9 months on the campaign trail, meeting the people of Chicago, having conversations about Chicago's future. And about how we, you know, not make Chicago what it used to be, but give it the chance to be the city that it's always deserved to be. Yeah. And so I'm having fun, man. Chicagoans are one of a kind.
Yeah, for sure. And we should note, too, we're recording on Monday. This is airing Friday. So if anything happens, if shit hits the fan or, you know, someone drops out or whatever, that's why. So
yep.
I'm just putting that out there.
That's right.
Shit moves fast, right? It moves fast.
Very fast.
So has it been what you expected so far?
It's been much more than I expected, right? As I've told people, I grew up here. I'm from Chicago, born and raised in this city. I'm as true blue Chicago as it gets. But it's not until you run a race like this, a citywide race where you're asking people about their experiences and also asking them for their support, that you see a different side of the city, right? And so I've been extremely pleased with the response we've gotten from Chicagoans. And I'm more excited than ever about the future of the city because of the people I've gotten a chance to meet.
Yeah, what's been the general response? Like, what do people say to you the most? Like, what's the maybe let's start with like a concern. Like, what's like the number one thing people say to you? I guess
public safety. Yeah. Right. No matter if you're in Lakeview, Lincoln Park, or you know Inglewood, people are talking about public safety, and I've gotten a good flavor of that because in the General Assembly, I represent the most diverse district in the state. Right, and so my state rep district goes from South Chicago, near the Indiana border, up to the Gold Coast. So I've got the lakefront. I've got Hyde Park, Kenwood, Bronzeville, Washington Park, South Shore, right? And it's very racially and socioeconomically diverse. And so I've heard this over the last few years within my district. But now as a candidate for mayor, and I meet people, you know, at their churches and at their Little League games and on their doorsteps, they're saying, you know, they don't feel safe. They don't feel that like there's a plan for their safety. And so that's the biggest thing I'm hearing across the city.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Yeah, and what is it a complex issue? Is it an easy issue? How do you see it?
It is a complex issue.
Yeah.
I think way too often people have tried to simplify it, right? People say either you are defund the police or you're back the blue.
Yeah.
Right? Well, most Chicagoans are somewhere in the middle. They want law enforcement to be there. They just want them to operate the right way. Mm-hmm. And they want investment in communities, and they want a chance to be able to create a space where crime isn't happening in the first place. But we got to do some work to get there, right? And so I often talk about this as a, listen, I'm a black kid that grew up on the South Side. I understand some of the people's pushback on law enforcement. I also am a black kid who grew up on the South Side whose father was a cop, right? And so I understand the side of the coin where people choose to do this work, and the ones who want to be good and do it the right way. And the bad apples spoil those bunches, right? And so it is a much more nuanced and complicated issue than most people realize.
Yeah. What did you see? Kind of. So you went to Morgan Park, right?
I did. Morgan Park.
So Morgan Park, like, what did you see, like, from the issues in Morgan Park, like how do you fix everything at a base core level? Like, how do you start?
I think the biggest thing is opportunity, right?
Yeah.
We talk a lot about the fact that more and more people in this city have been victims of violence or have seen violence occur in their neighborhoods, right? And unfortunately, I saw a lot of that as a young man as well. But I'll go one step further. Not only have I seen violence, and not only has my family been victims of this violence in Chicago, but I know the guys who have perpetrated this violence too, right? The shooters. I went to school with them. Yeah. I went to church with them. I played with them. And so I often ask myself, where did our roads diverge, right? What happened for me to go this way and them to go that way? I was having a conversation this weekend with a person who you would know, Morgan Park alum and U of I alum, just like me, Ayo Dunsumo, right?
Yeah.
From Chicago Bulls. And it was his birthday, and we had a conversation this weekend, and we talked about, quote unquote, making it out, right? And what was different for me and him.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously we were both sports guys, and we used our sports talents to go to school for free. But there were different opportunities that were afforded to us that maybe some of our classmates didn't have, maybe some of our friends and family members didn't have. And so when I talk about public safety and opportunity, it's about not just making sure that we are solving crimes. That's important, but we got to prevent them in the first place by giving people, young people, specifically our young men, the opportunity to do something different than to engage in that type of activity.
Yeah, I think you bring up Iowa too, and I think Morgan Park is actually a very unique school in that respect, right?
Yeah.
Because there's so many athletes that came out of there, and yeah. You know, it's good programs,
yep.
Right?
Yep.
You know, who's the quarterback? Demetrius, I'm blanking on
Demetrius
his name.
Jones.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do
yeah.
you run a 4.2?
Yeah.
You know, where do you go to college?
Notre Dame.
Notre Dame. Yep. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Was a stud prospect. You know. Was he your age?
He's so Demetrius was a freshman when I was a senior, and so he was like my little brother.
Yeah.
It's a few guys like that, and I'll tell you this, I have a real special affinity for Chicago Public League sports because it's much like a fraternity, right?
Yeah.
We called him Double, but Demetrius was like my younger brother. You had Juice Williams coming out at the same time at CBS that ended up playing with me
yep.
in college. excuse me, and I look at the opportunities that these young men took and made something out of it, right? And I, it reminds me, especially when I talk about from the mayoral position, the things we have to do for our education system. You know, everybody's not going to be a calculus whiz. Everybody's not going to be a lover of world geography, right? But if we can find a way to give folks a robust curriculum, and that means music, that means the arts, that means sports, to help build these communities by building the young people, we'll be doing a much better job than we are today.
Did you feel that, though, like at Morgan Park and everything? And I don't mean to single them out specifically. I just say that because you went there.
Yeah.
Like, how, you know, because you've seen firsthand, like, there were so many guys like you, but then there are so many guys that go the other way. Like
right.
you said, you knew some of these people doing these shootings and whatnot. Like, what's the foundational crack that you see in some of these CPS schools that puts these people in the wrong direction?
I think much too often we've tried to focus on metrics that don't necessarily make holistic and complete people, right? It's important to do well in school. I'm a huge proponent of that. But what we've seen way too often in CPS is that we've forced our teachers to, quote unquote, teach to the test, right? Mm-hmm. So that our young people are they're able to show on paper that they're learning and growing and progressing, but they have not been able to do so in real life. And so, you know, where are our conversations about, like you said, like athletics, the things that you learn through sports? Where are our conversations in CPS about the building trades, right? Giving young folks an opportunity to be an HVAC technician or steel and sheet metal worker without having to go to college if they don't want to, and making an honest and decent living and supporting a family, right? Those are the conversations we haven't had enough of. We're stuck in the past. We got to move forward.
Yeah, enough with the arithmetic and the algebra. I mean, important stuff.
Yeah,
like, you should know basic mathematics skills, but like, you also should be getting kids ready for, you know, more of the trades.
For life.
I totally agree.
Yeah,
I mean, it's such a blue collar city. Like, yeah. I think that's very important for sure. So, and that's, you've been very outspoken about education and whatnot. Is there something else there that really speaks to you as far as like kind of revamping the education system in Chicago?
Yeah.
I read some stuff that you put out. So
there are a lot of things, man. I've spent a lot of time talking about education for a few reasons. One, because it was the great equalizer for me to help me sit in front of you right now in this position. But also, it's a very important thing in my family. My mother spent 30 plus years, as a CPS teacher in Lincoln Park and Auburn Gresham on the South Side. My youngest sister is currently a CPS teacher. And my older sister is currently a CPS principal. And so it is it's family business, right? And, you know, when I look at resources and making sure that we are providing our young people with the proper resources, I just think we haven't done enough, right? Depending on who you listen to, we spend somewhere between $18,000 and $30,000 a year per pupil in the Chicago public school system. Now, those numbers mean nothing by themselves, but when you look at it compared to what the kids at New Trier get per pupil, right, is double that.
Yeah.
And then again, when you look at how much we spend to house a young person in the Illinois Department of Corrections, when you leave school and you hit that prison pipeline, it costs taxpayers, you and me and the folks who live in this state, $60,000 per person per year to house them, feed them, clothe them within the penal system. And so would you rather put your money into a young person on the front end and invest in them so they can invest back in the community? Or do you want to nickel and dime them and then have them locked up and you still end up paying more money for them? That's the question.
Yeah, I mean, it should be an easy answer.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
You know, and that's, how are you, like, because I know the CTU endorsement went towards Brandon Johnson. Were you expecting that for yourself, or were you surprised it didn't go towards you?
I don't know. I think folks who have watched my political career and the work I've done in Springfield, I know that I've been aligned with CTU on many of the issues that are most important to them. The fight to get an elected school board, it was a fight that was 150 years in the making. And my leadership in Springfield helped actually bring us there 2 years ago. But listen, at the end of the day, I think what's important to me is not the endorsement of institutions and organizations. It's the endorsement of the people of Chicago. The people here are really looking for new leadership. They're looking for a vision and a plan for tomorrow, right? And as I keep on reminding people, it's not enough to be anti-Lori Lightfoot. It's not enough to be anti the incumbent or anti the status quo. People want to know, what are you going to do differently? How are you going to take this city and make it the best version of itself? And so we've put together plans. We've traveled this city and we've had real conversations with the people who, as I always say, the people who love Chicago but just want Chicago to love them back. Right?
Yeah,
that's where we are, and so we'll keep pushing. And we got a big tent. We're opening up our doors to whoever wants to come and be part of this movement.
We'll get into that a little bit then. If you say it's going to be known, what are you going to do different then? So if Cam Buckner's elected mayor, what are you going to do different than Lori Lightfoot? Like, how will the average Chicago citizen feel, like, hey, all right, Cam's in town now. The yeah. Lori show is over.
Yeah.
How will people feel that?
Well, there's a few things. I think a successful mayor has to be aspirational, right? So there needs to be a plan for the future. We can't just be stuck in this situation where we're putting out fire after fire and we have no ability to build for tomorrow. So aspirational. inspirational as well. I want young people in this city to look at City Hall and the city government and say, listen, these people care about me. They're fighting for me, and they're doing the actual work. And then thirdly, I think operational, right? It has to actually work. We can talk about numbers and talk about plans, but when we look up and we see that we've got a rising murder rate and we've got a clearance rate that is dipping, clearance rate being, you know, when they actually solve murders in this city, mm-hmm. when we see the rift between CPD and the mayor's office, when we see the rift between CPD and the community, when we see the rift between CPS and CTU, you know, what this city is begging for is a mayor who can say, listen, we're going to find a way to yes instead of getting stuck in no. A mayor that fights but doesn't fight just for the sake of fighting, right? Yeah. And that will change immediately once I'm elected mayor.
What's your do you have a current relationship with her as it stands?
Not a good one. Surprisingly, early in her in Mayor Lightfoot's administration, I was extremely excited. I thought that this was going to be a new day for Chicago. Mm-hmm. I look back at a tweet that I posted from her inauguration in 2019, and I was giddy almost, right, about it being a new day for Chicago. It didn't take me long to realize that a lot of what was said in the campaign was not real. It was a very short amount of time until the mayor morphed into the true version of herself. And so, listen, I am not just a Chicagoan who's been around politics for a while, but as I told you, I represent a district that is extremely important to this city, right? I've got places like the Museum Campus and Soldier Field and Navy Pier and McCormick Place all in the district. I've got historic places like South Shore and Washington Park where there's a lot of new development going on, Woodline as well. I represent downtown and the Central Business District and the Magnificent Mile. I've got more hotels, more hospitals, more restaurants, more bars in my district than anyone else in the state. And so there should be a symbiosis between a representative like me and the city, but there hasn't been. The city doesn't have a real robust plan for Springfield and how to get the most out of Springfield. And so there's been some disjointed, I think, conversation there. Hopefully, no matter what happens in this race, that changes, that whoever's in the mayor's office can work better with the folks who are doing the work in Springfield and D.C. and vice versa.
Where did it swerve, though? Where do you think has been her – what has been her biggest shortcoming?
I think a failure to be honest with the people about public safety.
Yeah.
And then there were a bunch of flip-flops that happened almost immediately. The elected school board was one of them. That was probably the one that put the biggest rift between my relationship with the mayor. Mm-hmm. There was the real estate transfer tax, a promise that she made during the campaign to take a certain percent of high dollar real estate transactions and put that money towards homelessness. And she kind of backtracked on what her initial promise was there. She promised to erase the gang database that has been seen as racially discriminatory. And then she changed her mind on that immediately. And it just wasn't a whole lot there. And then we began to see heavy-handed action on things that were egregious to me, right? So whether we're talking about the scandal at the Park District with the lifeguards and the sexual assault in the last couple of years, or we're talking about the Anjanette Young, the raiding of Anjanette Young's home. It was a botched raid, a raid on the wrong house where a woman was unclothed and humiliated in front of a group of cops. And listen, the mayor did not do that, right? She wasn't the one who who kicked the door in. But she surely did make it worse by not apologizing to Ms. Young and acknowledging where things went wrong. And so I think all of that stuff in the aggregate piled on each other became enough for people to start realizing that maybe Mayor Lightfoot is a much different person than candidate Lightfoot.
So you spoke a lot about how you represent the largest district, and, you know, it's from Indiana to the Gold Coast and whatnot. So what is there something that you've done that these people have felt, you know, because I think that's important too.
Yeah.
Is there something that you've done that you're particularly proud of,
yeah,
that you could really put your footprint in and be like, hey, this is what I've done. This is what you can expect. Because
yeah,
I think a lot of politic talk is cheap, quite frankly. You know what I mean? So like, is there anything like you could really like, boom,
yeah,
that's
sure,
Cam Buckner
and
stamp?
That's a great question, especially as people start trying to figure out who they want to support. But when I came into the General Assembly 4 years ago, I made some very staunch promises to the people who I represented and the people of the state of Illinois. I promised, much like the mayor did, I promised an elected representative school board, because every other school district in this state, all of them, have an elected school board except for Chicago. And so my argument was, if it's good enough for Evanston, why is it not good enough for Englewood? And so I promised that, and I was the chief sponsor on that bill, and the chief sponsor on the following trailer bill that put a moratorium on school closings in Chicago, which I also promised. So that was a promise made. That was a promise kept. When I came in, I promised that I would do whatever I can to deal with our climate change crisis, to make sure that we had environmental legislation that put Chicago and Illinois on the path forward. And so then when Governor Pritzker decided that that was going to be a priority of him in his first term, he called me and asked me to carry that legislation. And we passed the most comprehensive and consequential clean energy legislation in the history, not of the state, but of this country, right? A promise made, a promise kept. Twice I've taken on the almighty gun lobby. And we know the gun lobby are, they're some tough guys, right? Mm-hmm. But I was the chief sponsor and the first legislator in the Midwest to successfully take them on and to ban unserialized, untraceable ghost guns from the streets of Illinois. Governor Pritzker signed that last summer. And then again, just a few weeks ago, making Illinois the ninth state in the nation to ban the sale, the manufacturing, and the possession of assault rifles. I've done the work. As I always say, promises made, promises kept. Politicians make promises, leaders keep them. And so, you know, all of those things, there are a number of other things that I've been able to move across the finish line. I'm extremely proud of my work as the chief sponsor on the name, likeness, and image legislation here in Illinois, not just because it gave young student athletes across this state a voice and gave them some control over their own image, but the moment we passed our bill in Illinois, the NCAA stood up and said, okay, enough's enough. We'll stop. We'll allow this for every student athlete in the country, right? And so this is monumental legislation that has not affected just the people in my district or the city or the state, but people throughout the entire country.
Now, going to the future now too, going to from the debate that happened last week, a lot of people, it seemed like a lot of people, you had a lot to say, I guess, about the CTA safety and whatnot. Can you go into that a little bit about, you know, plans and what you kind of would do, what you kind of would implement?
Yeah, so I think transit is a big deal. I literally just talked about this today, that people look at public transit and they don't see how important it is. But it's important to me for a few reasons. One, because people deserve mobility. People deserve to be able to get around a city without owning a vehicle, without owning a automobile, right? And we have to make it easier for them to do so. But also because our public transit is really an intersectional indicator of the things we care about. If you show me a public safety system, a public transit system that's not safe, I can probably show you a city that's not safe. Mm-hmm. If you show me a public transit system that has an issue with unhoused people, I can show you a city that has an issue with housing. If you show me a public transit system that has an issue with folks who may be suffering from mental health issues, I'll show you a city that has not addressed those issues, right? And so this is not just about the red line running on time, right? That's important. But this is really a microcosm of all the things that are important in our society. And so I talk a lot about making CTA safe, making CTA accessible, making it affordable, and making sure that people can move around unencumbered in this city. I take CTA a lot. I'm a kid who, when I got good grades, I didn't get like ice cream or anything or get to go to the movies. My dad took me on a bus and showed me Chicago. Mm-hmm. To me, that was cool. I was a little nerd, a little transit nerd as a kid, right? And so I talk a lot about, from the security standpoint, not spending $30 million on German Shepherds, right? That's not making anybody safer. I talk about the fact that we already have 30,000 cameras on the system that are not connected. I talk about the fact that we used to have CTA transit ambassadors who were able to de-escalate certain things and be in contact with cops. We've got to bring that back. I've talked about in places like New York, they've put together programs where if you're on the red line or the green line and you see something, they say, see something, say something, but say something to who? In these programs, you can text, live text to somebody about what you see and what car you're on, and then it can be handled. But listen, we got to make CTA efficient and accountable again, because when we're able to do that, more people ride, and when more people ride, CTA is a safer place. So we got to bring ridership up in order to do that, and I think that that requires new leadership in that agency.
Is that is it done through the private sector, or do you, would you bring more cops on there? Do you, what do you feel?
So
about
I think CTA
that?
has to be a part of the beats of a cop, right? When mm-hmm. when we got cops walking the beat, cops should be where the people are. And so if there are people on the train and the buses, then that's where that should be part of the beat integrity of our law enforcement officers. But we've spent way too much money on private security. I said $30 million on dogs, right? $70 million on top of that on private security, the actual people. So that's $100 million that we're spending right now. And no, CTA does not feel safer because it's not safer. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot more we can do. I think that there is some opportunity to have some public-private partnership in many spaces, but this falls on the lap of the city. We got to find a way to use what we have, use our resources to make these spaces safe.
In your mind, February 28th hits, what do you think is the worst case scenario?
Well, I don't know. That's a really good question. I'll just say this because I don't want to be disparaging to anybody. But
okay.
I think that there are folks in this race who are stuck in the past, right? And what Chicago needs is a visionary for the future. The people are going to decide who they think offers that plan and who they think offers this city the best opportunity and chance to move forward. But listen, I'm a young father. My son's 13 months old, and I want to raise him in a city where he has opportunities, where he has safety, in a city that is really focused on the future. And so, there are folks in this race that I don't think have the ability to look at the future in a way that is beneficial for the majority of this city. And so, listen, part of democracy are these elections. They get tough. You don't always get the right result, and I would just hope that people are listening to what candidates are saying, right? Yeah. And also watch what they have done in the past. Once again, I think the mayor sold us a bill of goods 4 years ago, and people thought she was somebody who she isn't. We've got to pay attention because what happens to us on February 28th is going to be be based on what the people have listened to and what we've decided is our way forward in this city.
Yeah. And do you, has politics always been the path for you? Is this what you always wanted to do? Or how did you even get?
I don't know. I've bounced around a lot, man. I've got a pretty circuitous resume. I began working in politics fresh out of college.
Yeah.
Worked for Senator Durbin for a number of years. Then went to law school, then moved to New Orleans and worked for the mayor of New Orleans. Came home and took a job with the Chicago Cubs. I actually worked in their front office for a number of years.
Nice.
Ran a nonprofit that was focused on sports-based youth development. Between then, I've taught at the University of Chicago. I've done a little bit of everything. I've been a private practicing attorney for a while, too. So I got a bit of a scattered resume, man. But it's always been important to me to help people.
Mm-hmm.
As I said, my mother was a teacher. My dad was a cop. It was really... Public service was ingrained in us at a very young age. And so I've always been told that your calling in life is the place where your experience and your passions intersect with the needs of other people.
What's the conversations with them like? Are they do they say much about it?
Yeah, so we lost my father a year and a half ago. But before he passed away, we had a lot of conversations.
Mm-hmm.
And part of those conversations is actually part of why I decided to actually run.
Okay.
Because we talked about not waiting your turn. We talked about if you see something that's broken, just go fix it.
Yeah.
Don't ask for permission. And so that kind of put the battery in my back to do this. But also my mother, who I talk to every day about this city and about what she's seen over time. She wasn't born here, but she's been here since 1955. And the way she's seen Chicago change, especially as a public sector employee, as a former teacher who educated tens of thousands of young people in this city, and she really keeps me focused on the big picture. and why we need leadership that really cares about Chicago and that knows Chicago to be able to actually be able to do the work to bring us forward.
And do you feel like some of the candidates in the race are just kind of not in it for that?
Well, listen, I think there's
all, you don't have to name names.
No, there's always some political ambition or some personal ambition with politicians, right? It is what it is.
For sure.
But, you know, to me, what I've tried to hammer on is listen, once again, I'm really from here, right? Mm-hmm. I grew up in Chicago. I went to summer camp at Chicago Parks. I'm a Chicago Public School graduate, kindergarten through 12th grade. I know this city, and I know her people, right? And I think Chicagoans are really clamoring for some leadership, not only that understands their issues, but also understands the opportunities that we have here. We'll hear a lot in this campaign about, you know, doom and gloom and about the bad things that are happening, and there's plenty of it to talk about. Mm-hmm. But I'm running because I think we have a really, really fantastic opportunity right now to be the greatest city in the world. I always have believed that we are, and I think we got a chance to start acting like it with the right leadership.
Mm-hmm. Well, all right, Cam. Anything kind of here to end us off, or do you think we got it all out?
This is all good, man. I really appreciate this opportunity.
For sure, man. Thank you for stopping in. Where can people check more stuff out at if they want to go research some more?
We're on all things social media, Cam, K-A-M, Buckner, B-U-C-K-N-E-R, Shy, C-H-I. And our website is Cam, K-A-M, for mayor.com.
Awesome. Well, thanks, Cam. I appreciate it, man.
Thank you.
All right, everybody. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. That's it for today. That's it for this week. We'll see you guys on Monday.